You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Every week we're here talking with you about the Montreal Canadiens, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained all about your favorite hockey franchise. My name is Amy Johnson. I am your host for today's show. This is episode 370 of the Canadiens Connection podcast entitled Habs Core Locked In. What's next? I'm going to be posing that question today. It's a question I'm going to pose to my co-host, who also happens to be our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. What's next?
What's next? Well, it was a thrilling week. Canadiens, not to spoil anything, but the Canadiens
spoiler alert,
won three games. And what's next? Well, they head on the road for a Western road trip. But no, that isn't what you're asking. What next? What's next? What can this team, this dynamic team, this thrilling team do as the years move on now that the core is locked up? Well, we're going to talk about that in the second segment.
We are. Before we get there, however, just want to quickly recap the three games that have taken place between now and our previous Canadiens Connection podcast, give you the highlights of all of those, select our three stars of the week, as well as get you caught up on the Canadiens roster news. There is an awful lot of it this week. We've got some kind of semi-breaking injury updates to discuss, as well as contracts signed and all sorts of roster things happening. We are going to, of course, take a look at the Habs prospect report. We've got some exciting updates on a couple of prospects who are playing in the CHL this season, as well as the Laval Rocket continues their first week of play. We'll get you caught up on how they've been doing, both home and on the road. And then we've got some interesting things, NHL headlines to discuss. All of that, of course, before our first break on the show. When we get back after that, it'll be time for our big topic segment. This week, that big topic is the Canadiens' blueprint is taking shape. The core is locked in. And as Rick alluded to a moment ago, we are going to analyze the core that is now in place, the core group of young players who are signed to extensive contracts, who will be Montreal Canadiens for the foreseeable future, and hopefully through kind of the golden age of what this current roster can be. We're going to talk about how that roster might change with some additions and maybe some subtractions over the next few years. The leadership who is surrounding and guiding and at the helm of all of these changes and taking them through the next course of this journey. So we're really going to take a look at what is next now that all of the core players are signed to big contracts. And then finally, in our third segment this week, not only will we have a very, very fun Canadians Connection question of the week to ask you for this week, we've also got some great answers that you submitted to last week's question of the week that we want to read out to you and get you all set. We'll have the preview for what's ahead for the week for the Canadians. And it's going to be a busy week. I hope that you've all got your coffee machines ready to go.
Late starts
this week. All right. So that's it's going to be a great show. There are lots of good news to talk about, lots of fun things to talk about. So let's get right into it. Starting with a quick recap of the games that took place this past week, going all the way back to a week ago, last Saturday night, when Montreal wrapped up their season opening road trip at yet another Original Six franchise, taking at the United Center, taking on the Chicago Blackhawks last Saturday night. Canadians once again coming out victorious in that one, as they had against the Red Wings two nights before that, winning that one 3-2.
Is there anybody better? No, I'm going to answer the question. The anthem singer, as he's known on X. Best in the business, best not only in the NHL, in all of sports. Absolutely amazing.
He had the full tux on for the home opener, too, Jim Cornelissen.
Jim Cornelissen. We saw him at the in person, heard him in person at the draft that was in Chicago. But, just incredible. Another Original Six, as you said, lineup for a team lined up in the early part of the Canadian schedule. The scoring, it was Cole Caulfield that opened the scoring. And It's funny when you look back just a week ago that was his first goal of the season. And considering where he is now, that goal was on the power play. Zach Bolduc, his third goal of the season.
Third consecutive game.
Also on the power play. Yeah. And this was a week of thrillers, and it was Caden Gooley who was the hero here, scoring with 15 seconds left to give the Canadians a win.
Very, very big win for the Canadians, setting them up for their Tuesday night home opener I loved that the Canadians opened the season against three fellow Original Six teams. So, you know, that was really just fantastic viewing to watch back-to-back-to-back Original Six versus Original Six games. Then they come out for their home opener, and we've been saying this all summer. I don't understand why Seattle Kraken was their home opening opponent, but okay. Certainly, if you weren't super thrilled about, you know, if the opponent for the home opener didn't excite you, the game certainly did, because 9 goals in total scored went to overtime, Montreal eking out yet another win, third one in a row, after losing their first one, 5-4.
In overtime, again. Alex Newhook getting his first of the season, Kirby Dach getting his first of the season, Ivan Demidov getting his first of the season, and it the rest of the scoring was all done by Cole Caulfield, both the second period in regulation and then in overtime to give the Canadians the win. Did this need to be that hard? We're talking about good news this week, but concern, there must be concern. For Sam Montembeau, who has not been very good, didn't have a good training camp, and he was awful in this one. Three of the four goals, Seattle goals, were stoppable pucks, and he's struggled so far to start the season. Now his one loss record, he's made 3 starts, he has 2 wins. One loss, but his save percentage, .870, goals against, .297. And compared to Jakub Dobish also has 2 wins, but has a .940 save percentage and a .146 goals against. So if there's some areas of concern, it would be with Sam Montembeau at this point.
Two nights later, the Canadiens remained on home ice, hosting the Nashville Predators. This one also went to overtime. Jakub Dobish was backstopping the Canadiens in this one, but they did come out with the win 3-2 over the Predators.
Oliver Kapanen got the scoring underway for the Canadiens, and that wasn't that was early in the third period. Oliver Kapanen with his third goal of the season, and leading all rookies in that particular category. Then it was, well, we should say that there was a lineup change, and that was Jaden Struble got into the lineup for his first game of the year, replacing Arber Jacki. And then chaos. No, like 2-1 for Nashville going into the dying seconds of the game with about 20 seconds left. It was Lane Hudson blocking Jonathan Marsh's shot, who was directing a puck at the empty net. He made the block. The puck dropped to his feet, and he immediately fed Cole Caulfield for the tying goal with just 20 seconds left in the third period. And then it was Cole Caulfield, 3 seconds left for the game winner. It was all set up. It was Mike Matheson who pinched in and kind of got all tangled up with two Predators. And it was Nick Suzuki who went in, grabbed the puck, the loose puck, and a backhand feed to Cole Caulfield, a one-timer, 3 seconds left
in
overtime for the game winner. Unbelievable.
Exhausting.
And
Dobish in overtime, however.
Well, and I was just going to say, the first thing after scoring that goal, Cole Caulfield turned and headed to Jakub Dobish, pointing to him, because it was Jakub Dobish that kept the overtime alive with an incredible 2-on-0. It was 2-on-0 for Nashville, and Dobish made the spectacular save.
So, needless to say, there's definitely been some standouts this week. The Rocket Sports selection for the three stars of the week, I think number one is the no-brainer with Cole Caulfield.
Yeah, Cole Caulfield.
I mean, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 goals this week, 2 of them OT winners.
In 3 games, he had 5 goals, 1 assist for 6 points, was a +5, had 2 power play goals. He had 4 even strength. He has 4 even strength goals, and 2 overtime goals this week.
All right, then. I need to pull out. What did I have on our bold predictions for Caulfield's goal scoring total for the year?
Yeah,
I have to take a look.
While we're taking a look, Cole Caulfield is now tied for the most overtime goals in Canadiens franchise history. With 10, I believe. Now, that's a little bit of a suspect stat, because remember, ties were not eliminated until the 2004-2005 season.
Right.
So that, you know, prior to that, you could only get those overtime goals in the playoffs. So he has had a bit of an advantage there. Anyway, it's still fabulous. In a very short period of time.
That's right.
A fabulous mark.
Second star of the week would be?
I picked Nick Suzuki. Didn't score, but he had 5 assists for 5 points, was a +5, 2 power play points, and of course, set up, went and dug the puck, and set up Caulfield for that all-important win against the Predators.
And we're going to talk about this young man a little bit more here momentarily, but something seems to have set Lane Hudson ablaze this week as opposed to last week.
He's a different guy.
Uh-huh.
Different.
Wonder why.
4 points, 4 assists this week, +4. Remember we were talking about him last week, that he wasn't playing his game. He was pressing. He wasn't very effective at that point. Well, that's all been turned around.
And happy to see it. You have an honorable mention for this week as well. Well, he had a game winner a week ago.
Yeah, we talked about the game winner for Caden Gooley, and he gets my honorable mention.
Love it. Before we wrap up this segment, just want to take a step back to the home opener for just a moment, just to acknowledge, you know, we had said on last week's show that the season opening game for the Canadiens was held at Toronto, and it was one of the most boring, Leafs rivalry or not, it was just one of the most home opening ceremonies that we had seen. It was very boring. It was just kind of very run of the mill. There wasn't anything special about it. Detroit's was better because it's their centennial season. They had, you know, a little bit of history, rolling out some special uniforms, that type of thing. Chicago also celebrating their centennial. And of course, Jim Cornelison, pretty decent.
That's pretty good.
But the Canadiens, well, I can't say that they hands down do the best opening ceremony, because their opening ceremonies used to be better. I will complain every year until they bring it back that the torch needs to come back.
They had a virtual torch this year.
Doesn't work. I'm sorry, but the actual physical passing of a torch engulfed in flame from either one generation to the next, or an alumnus to a captain, whoever, that tradition needs to be restored. I still don't understand why they've gone away from that, and I will complain about it every year until they bring it back. But with all that aside, the Canadiens, of course, with a very entertaining home opening ceremony, and had some special guests in the house. Carrie and Angela Price were in the building. Which was, I think everyone was a little surprised to see. San Jose had a game that night. Carey Price was at the Bell Center. That's all right. Loved the individuality in this, that every player, when they were announced, basically had their NHL equivalent of a baseball walk-up song. They got to choose the song that they would skate out to, which made it pretty fun. Some of the choices were very good. Some of the choices were eh. Some of the choices were funny. I liked it.
Yeah, it was. They're getting back to. You're right. The Canadiens have always been billed as having the best ceremonies, not only opening night ceremony, but ceremonies period.
Period. Yeah.
In the league, and they had lost that title for the past few seasons. I think this one was back. Not all the way, maybe, but back in the direction of the ceremonies of the past. Ken Dryden, that tribute at the beginning was very touching. Having the net lit up, Ken Dryden's mask on the back of the net, yeah. Ken Dryden's banner, number 29 banner, and the rafters lit up. And while that was going on, it was... he was never identified, but you could, people that know, it was Bob Gainey's voice reading a passage of Ken Dryden's book, The Game. That was all really well done. They had kind of a pump up video, which was pretty good. And then the individual walkout songs, which were, some of them were good. I like Suzuki ending on Fix You. Okay, that's appropriate. Gallagher walking out to Enter Sandman, like that. I don't understand Sam Montembeau walking out to song. It was a French song called The Goal Machine.
He would want to be the opposite of that.
Yeah, well, you'd think so. Some of the other choices.
Caulfield's Money for Nothing by Dire Straits was good. Josh Anderson's Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses was great. Patrick? Why am I not surprised that Patrick Laine had Titanium by David Guetta? Like, that was the most Patrick Laine choice. That could have been. I liked Jake Evans' The Stroke by Billy Squire. That was pretty good. Oliver Kapanen. You can never go wrong with Avicii, Oliver Kapanen. So some levels right there, that absolutely great. Mike Matheson's Mr. Brightside by The Killers just made me And that's not, that has nothing to do with the fact that I'm not a Mike Matheson fan. I was just, that's not a good song choice. Kate and Gooley surprised me with a little Kanye.
Yeah, where's the country?
I was expecting the country. They're announcing number 21. I'm like, oh, this is going to be country. And Kanye starts playing. I'm like, yeah. All right, Kate and Gooley, I see you. We hear you.
And I liked the way that they introduced the training staff, the off-ice staff, with the players presenting them. The only thing there is they forgot to hook up the Jumbotron mic with the broadcast mic.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate, but I like the concept of that. So all in all, I thought it was a pretty good pregame ceremony and back to the right direction, I think.
Sort of. Like sticks in my craw, let me tell you.
The torch. Yeah, I don't get the. Well, they answer the question, why aren't you using the torch? And the question was from one of those executives saying, Canadians fans don't care about the past.
Guess again.
Yeah.
And if there are Canadians fans who are too young to care about that part of the past, then you're doing a poor job in educating them about it. Ugh. Anyway, Canadians 5 games in with a beautiful 4-1 record. They've got 8 points, putting them second in the Atlantic Division, 5th overall in the NHL. That is not a bad start to the season. They lost on opening night to the Leafs and have done nothing but win ever since.
Now, points in October are count just the same as points in April. They're benefiting right now. They're benefiting from some late night heroics, and you'd want to see them, turn up the offense a little bit earlier in games, so they don't have to rely on those late game heroics. They benefited from the fact that they haven't really beaten yet a playoff bound team, a top tier team. Their schedule's been pretty good, but that's all about to change. And Marty St. Louis has talked about that they're going to need more touches in the offensive zone. They're going to need more offensive pressure. Their focus on defense seems to be working. Now they got to get the offense ramped up.
So that was all the good news, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but when the pendulum swings one way, it inevitably has to swing back in the other direction. And unfortunately, Saturday morning, the Canadians just decided to drop a gigantic hand grenade on everybody with not one, not two, but 3 injury announcements Saturday morning. The most significant of which is that defenseman Caden Gooley is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a lower body injury. Looks like he hasn't practiced all week. So I don't know if this is something that's been nagging at him that got worse in the game against Nashville on Thursday night, or there were other reasons he wasn't practicing and then something big happened.
Yeah, something definitely got worse in that Thursday night game. He sat out. He was on the bench for the last 7 minutes of Thursday night's game again against Nashville. And so as you say, whether it's a new injury or he aggravated something that was already bothering him, no more details than a lower body injury, but out for 4 to 6 weeks is a bit of a blow for the Canadians.
Absolutely. So that now means Struble will pair with Hudson, Jacki will pair with Carrier. And then we have to start looking ahead to the fact that they're not just going on the road next week. They're going on the road out west next week. So there's,
we talked last week about the Canadians playing under the 23-man cap. And so far, to replace Caden Gooley, they haven't made a recall from Laval. And that's understandable with them playing at home and Laval being down the street. If they need a player, but going out west, they're going to need an extra defenseman. So, you know, the question, speculation starts, who will that be? And Adam Engstrom, there's others that, you know, Mark Delgazzo, Nate Clearman, those are players who are eligible, who have the contracts to be able to be recalled. Adam Engstrom was a very, very late cut in camp. Would he be along on the trip for insurance, and what effect would that have on Lavelle, who I think are a little bit thin on the back end, and and to prove the point of that, they offered a PTO to a former prospect, bringing him back, Josiah Didier, and we'll talk more about Didier when we get to the Lavelle portion of the show.
Along with the Gouley announcement, the Canadiens announced that two of their forwards are also day-to-day with lower body injuries, that being Kirby Dach and Patrick Laine. Both of them out day-to-day. They won't play on Saturday night. That means that Owen Beck has been recalled from the Laval Rocket. Did we have a bold prediction of which one was going to be the first one recalled?
We did.
I don't have my answers with me. They're down in my office, in my other office. So in a different notebook, but the answer to it is officially Owen Beck is first one. And it also means that Joe Valeno is going to, make his debut tonight as well.
An emergency call recall for Owen Beck. So, that doesn't count against the roster number. Now, there's got to be some juggling, obviously, with the pairs, with the trios. Newhook, Kapanen, center, Demidov, that's going to remain unchanged against the Rangers on a Saturday night. Anderson and Evans had been playing with Patrick Laine. Brendan Gallagher, who is very familiar playing with those two, will return to the fourth line to play with them. And that sets up a new third line of Zach Bolduc with Joe Valeno and Owen Beck. Beck and Valeno played together in one preseason game in Quebec City, so they have some familiarity with each other. Owen Beck is, he was interviewed on Saturday morning. He said he's certainly very excited to be in Montreal. He was maybe expecting a call up, but not so quickly from Laval. And he said he was not so much disappointed by being sent to Laval because he was very happy with his performance in training camp, and he should have been. He was excellent in training camp, and has certainly merits the recall today.
Definitely. Switching back to the good news front, of course, we have to talk about the fact that way back on Monday, we, you know, last week's podcast was all about all of the drama that was starting to get kicked up about Lane Hutson's contract and stuff that was getting leaked to the media, things that were, you know, was it starting to affect Lane Hutson's performance? Was it getting out of hand? This, that, and the other. And we had actually, you had had me read a tweet from someone.
David Edgy,
Edgy from BPM, who had speculated that he was pretty sure that they were going to get a deal for Lane Hutson locked up before the home opener on Tuesday night. Well, that came true.
And the numbers were pretty close.
And his numbers were very close as well. And you had said, normally, you know, don't take a lot of stock in these kinds of guesses and speculation, but that he's been just about right on in the past about a couple of important things.
Yeah, player agent, player advisor. So I said, take note of this one. And it's one of the reasons why I asked you to read it, because it had some... I thought it all made sense that a deal would be done before the home opener, and of course it was.
So take that. We'll be keeping an eye on his speculation, of course. But yes, announcing on Monday morning that Lane Hutson inked an 8-year, $70.8 million contract that locks him in through the 2033-34 season. with an average annual salary of $8.85 million.
And lots of money devoted to signing bonuses and front-loaded and some tax avoidance kind of measures built in as well. 8.85 is a little less
modest
than most were speculating. And listen, when the deal was announced, I think universally people said this is a team friendly contract. It's it's a bargain. It's a steal. Characterize it as you wish. But there you have. Lane Hutson signing a contract, and you know that's the 8.85 is a lot of money for a young player. It's well shy of Noah Dobson's 9.5, and you got to wonder that if this, you know, if all goes fine and it allows the Canadians to maximize their cap and bring in the supporting players to be able to get these core players to a championship. I don't think anybody's going to be complaining. But a deal like that might start looking ugly for Kent Hughes if they can't achieve their goal and he's underpaying one of the league's best defensemen, certainly the Canadians' best defenseman. Mm-hmm. The only quibble I'll have with this is the tactics. I didn't like Kent Hughes's leaks to the media. Were they from? Do we know for certain they were? Do we have the paper trail? No, of course not. But knowing what we know about the media, knowing what we know about Kent, knowing what we know with Kent, what Kent has said publicly about leveraging the media, the amount of pressure that he put on the Hutson camp by what came out. We talked about that last week. There's a little
gamesmanship.
Yeah, it wasn't crazy about how that all came together. But it was Lane Hutson started feeling the pressure, said it was affecting his play, didn't want this to carry on and hang over the team the entire season. So he was the one who broke the stalemate and said to his agent, get a deal done.
Well, that they did. And it was a big one. And obviously, the team was pretty stoked about that as well. At the end of morning practice on Monday, Lane Hutson absolutely swarmed by all of his teammates. Gigantic group hug at one end of the ice up against the boards as they all celebrated the fact that Lane was locked up for 8 years.
Yeah, near the end of practice, Marty St. Louis sent Lane Hutson on a solo lap. Mm-hmm. And when he did, he said the deal was done. He didn't reveal the terms, anything. He just said that the deal was done. And by the time that Lane Hutson was rounding the back of the ice, they were all over him celebrating with him. He's just a humble, naive, but he's just a guy who loves playing hockey and loves playing hockey in Montreal. And he said, quote, every time you get to throw on this jersey, it's special, whether it's practice, games, preseason, playoffs, it always means so much to me. So it's pretty special that I get to do it for a while now. He wanted it signed. He wanted to stay in Montreal. He wanted the team to have the ability to bring in the supporting players. And as much credit that is going to management on this and Kent Hughes, the most credit has to go to Lane Hutson for getting this deal done.
And he was still the first one on the ice at practice.
Yeah.
That the work ethic doesn't go away just because he's got the big paycheck now. Nick Suzuki also commented on, as you referred to it, the team-friendly nature of the contract, saying, quote, we've built a culture here where guys aren't trying to break the bank. All Lane wants to do is win. I think he's definitely set us up for that possibility down the future.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
That's right.
Also, once that got done, well, Canadians didn't waste any time because also prior to the home opener on Tuesday night, the very next day, Tuesday afternoon, the Canadians announced that they had agreed to multi-year contract extensions for both Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes. We believe they are 5-year mm-hmm. term, five, I believe. Yeah. 5 years for both of them. And Jeff Gorton got a little bit of a promotion as well.
Jeff Gorton is now the president of hockey operations. Remember, we complained about this when it happened that Jeff Molson didn't want to relinquish that title when he hired Jeff Gorton. Mm-hmm. He kept the president of not only the president of the Montreal Canadiens, but president of hockey operations. He had been so involved with decision making in the Marc Bergevin era that he kept that. A little bit. Anyway, we won't go back there. But finally relinquished the title so that Jeff Gorton is now the president of hockey operations instead of just the executive VP. And it was funny when Molson was asked, you know, that this the Lane Hutson deal came out before the home opener. The extensions for his management group came out before right away, as if it was in their back pocket waiting. Yeah, they can't announce extensions for Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton when they haven't signed one of their most important pieces. Jeff Molson was asked, coincidence? Oh, no. Yeah, it all just came together organically. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, it was just waiting to be announced.
That's right.
Yeah, it was going to happen, and nice that it all came together with both all of the signings ahead of the home opener so that fans could celebrate when the roster was announced.
One last bit of roster news, roster of a different sort. Frank Saravelli this week on Twitter announcing, quote, go Habs go Lane Hutson, Canucks Thatcher Demko, and Brock Besser. All listed among the skaters on USA Hockey's expanded preliminary 2026 Olympic roster submission.
Interesting.
Remember, they did not attend the Olympic orientation camp held by USA Hockey back in August. And I think I remember you and I discussing back then, Lane Hutson didn't seem to be overly bothered by it, but I think
his dad was,
but that there was still, it didn't mean that he wasn't going to be included, but obviously.
We reinforced that point. Don't get outraged now because he could still be added to the roster for consideration. And it seemed that has happened.
It has. All right, let's take a quick peek at the Habs prospect report now.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
So instead of just highlighting one Canadiens prospect playing outside of the pro leagues this week, we're actually going to hit on two prospects playing outside the pro leagues. In fact, these two young men were selected just 12 picks apart in the third round of the 2025 NHL entry draft this past summer. And they are the pick number 81 and pick number 69 from this past summer. First, we're going to start with defenseman Bryce Pickford. He plays for Medicine Hat in the WHL. Happens to be their captain as well. And holy man, Rick, has he just been... Maybe he was listening to Sam Montembeau's Goal Machine song because he's been just on a rip.
Bryce Pickford has 6 goals, 3 assists for 9 points in 9 games for Medicine Hat. As you said, he's the captain. He's a plus 9. And shall we remind you that he's a defenseman? 9 points in 9 games. And we talked to you about his catapult to offense last year. He was a defenseman for the first 2 years in the WHL. He was a defenseman for the Seattle Thunderbirds, right shot defenseman. In the 2023-24 season, 17 points in 65 games, 2 goals, 15 assists. That sounds about right. And then it was last season that he was on a point a game pace during the season, 47 points in 48 games, 20 goals. And then in the playoffs, he had 24 points in 18 games. So his offense just exploded, and that has continued this season. Remarkable for a third round pick, as you said, 81st overall. By the Montreal Canadiens in 2025.
12 places before that at number 69 overall this summer. Habs prospect Hayden Papanekis was drafted by the Canadiens. He is also playing in the WHL this season. He's playing for the Kelowna Rockets, but this week was a big moment for him in a game that he played for Kelowna.
It was his first game playing for Kelowna against the Victoria Royals. 1 goal, 1 assist. And we remember, if you remember the name, he wasn't able to participate in the rookie camp, the development, the rookie camp, because he had contracted mononucleosis. So he's missed the early part of the Kelowna season. But 2 points in his very first game. And remember, this is the player that kind of went against the grain of the kind of players that the Canadiens have been selecting. 6'5", 203 pounds. This is his fourth season, third season, I'm sorry, in the WHL.
Switching gears now to the Laval Rocket and the prospects that are playing there. Laval wrapped up their season opening road trip against the Manitoba Moose in Manitoba on Sunday afternoon last week, putting up a very nice 5-2 victory over Manitoba. And it was a special teams carousel in this one. Two shorthanded goals, a power play goal, an empty net goal.
Yeah, Owen Beck called up this morning. We had one of those shorthanded goals.
Mm-hmm. Laurent Dauphin with another shorty. Joshua Waugh both with a power play goal and an empty net goal. And Sean Farrell got in there with an even strength goal as well. Really nice job offensively by the Laval Rocket. And it was Kaapo Kähkönen who was in net for this one. This was a second game of the weekend. And he had an impressive 25 saves on 27 shots. He's been looking solid behind Jake Fowler. Then, of course, with the travel, they got back to Quebec, had the week to prepare for their home opener on Friday night. Now, this was, I think, a great selection for a team to have their home opener against. Remember, Laval home opening ceremony, they got to reveal their banner for being the regular season champion last year. The McGregor Kilpatrick banner being revealed. And they opened their season on home ice against the reigning Calder Cup champions, the Abbotsford Canucks. So a very big test to start the season on home ice. And on Friday night, it was... Well, they came out victorious, handing Abbotsford their first loss of the season so far. Jared Davidson scoring on the power play, Philip Meshar and Xavier Simoneau scoring even strength. But this was a nasty affair, particularly in the second period. Things got very physical, lots of fights, lots of roughings, lots of you name it. And it was... it was a little bit of a doozy, and they are set to rematch on Saturday afternoon, which I'm sure is going to be must-watch television.
Yeah, it was really ugly, ugly incident. Josiah Didier, who we mentioned earlier, signed last week by the Rocket to beef up their defense. Beef up is the operable word. A big, solid, mm-hmm. stay-at-home defenseman was playing on the first pairing with Adam Engstrom. It was Chase Stillman that was mixing it up with Jacob Fowler in the crease. A couple of slashes with his stick after Fowler had made the save, and Josiah Didier went in to move him out, and fell awkwardly. It was Stillman that upended him
after he had already lost his helmet.
Didn't have his helmet. And flipped over, and Josiah Didier landed on, hit the back of his head on the ice. And then Stillman, hovering over him, just nailed him with a sucker punch.
Right to the mouth.
Right, yeah, and there was blood all over the place, and the cameras panned away. And they brought out a stretcher. Fortunately, he didn't need that. No word on his condition, but he was able to skate to the dressing room under his own power. So hopefully we'll have some good news on Didier, some supplementary discipline on Stillman. But this was a 3-0 win for Laval. I like that Davidson power play goal. Great setup from Florian Jacky. And Jacob Fowler, 19 saves on 19 shots, his first AHL career shutout. And it seems to be that the starts are being evenly split between the two goaltenders.
And yes, if you are a rabid Laval fan, you'll say, no, that's not his first career AHL shutout. He had a shutout
season
in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Yes, that doesn't count as your first career regular season shutout. So that's why the distinction is there. Overall, I think he was pretty happy about it either way. So Laval, after three games, are 2-1 with 4 points. They are in first place in the North Division, 7th overall in the AHL. It's a great start for them. As I mentioned, they will rematch against Abbotsford Saturday afternoon. That'd be just in a little bit as we record this at 3 p.m. Then they head out for a little bit of a three-game road trip to the usual suspects this coming week. They'll be playing in Belleville on Wednesday night, in Rochester on Friday, and they'll be playing in Utica next weekend as well. So some familiar foes and some pretty tough, gritty matchups coming their way coming up soon. And we'll just also quickly note that on Friday night, the 12 Revere Lions won in overtime against the Reading Royals on home ice, 6-5.
And of course, this is the season that they defend their ECHL championship.
Kelly Cup championship. That's right. All right. Before we wrap up this first segment, just a couple of NHL headlines. First up, The Athletic has put out their first edition of their NHL power rankings, and the Montreal Canadiens are in the top 10.
Yeah, that's new. the Canadiens number 8 in the Athletic power rankings this week. They note that Cole Caulfield is not just a scorer and makes up a very important line for the Canadiens, who are providing the Canadiens with strong 5-on-5 play.
Also, just before the start of the regular season, the NHL and the NHLPA, of course, always hosts their player media tour, where a select group of players go to Vegas usually to do a bit of media tour. So while they were there, they did a North American player media tour poll and asked them which is the toughest NHL road arena to play in. Of the guys who were there for the media tour.
So this is a poll that polls all NHL players, but it's a NHL-NHLPA poll of the representatives that were in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And they asked, which is the toughest NHL road arena to play in? Maybe a surprise at the top selection of those of the players that were there. They selected the Lenovo Center, right, is that?
Yeah. The Lenovo Center, yeah.
In Raleigh, that's the home rink for the Hurricanes. Sam Reinhart said it's just the whole setup in there. They pack the fans in there. It kind of makes the rink feel smaller. And it's a different feeling. He said the road locker room is bad, so that doesn't help. It's just a rough rink to play in.
Second, though, is none other than the Bell Center.
Tough to play at the Bell Center for road teams. And Dustin Wolf, the rookie sensation for Calgary, says, quote, "Everyone knows everything about hockey there. They care so much about hockey and know so much about the game," end of quote.
And coming in third place is the TD Garden. Is TD Garden in Boston, home of the Bruins, Nick Suzuki, saying, quote, "Boston's always a hard place to go into and win. The fans there are always pretty rowdy, especially against our team."
Mm-hmm. Should be no surprise.
Should be no surprise. All right, we're going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. When we come back, you're going to hear from our sponsors over at DraftKings. They have a special incentive for a brand new app that DraftKings has launched just in the last couple of months called Pick Six. This is completely different from their daily fantasy app or their casino app or their sportsbook app. This is DraftKings Pick Six. So you want to hear that, check that out. There's a special incentive just for our listeners where you could get some, you know, make a small bet. You're going to get a bunch of bonus bet cash. So check that out. Sign up if you haven't done so already. It's a fun way to play. And then on the other side of this break, we are going to dive into our big topic of the week. The Canadiens blueprint is taking shape and the core is locked in. We're going to talk about what happens next. So stay with us. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Football is back, and so is your shot at big wins. With DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at picksix.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. Hey, if you want to follow my hockey coverage over on X, in fact, I was doing some updates for the Laval Rocket game on X last night, if you're not able to watch those games, feel free to follow me over on X. My handle there is @FlyersRule. Come along for the adventures in hockey over there. And of course, you want to be following Rick as well, our president and founder here at Rocket Sports. You definitely want to follow his account on X. It is our main Rocket Sports account. It gives you all of the links to all of our content on all of our different platforms, whether it's written, whether it's video, whether it's podcasts, whether it's audio, whatever it is, that's where you want to find it. So follow him at Rocket Sports on X. And hey, go ahead and follow this podcast, particularly on X, Facebook, and Instagram. The handle for that is @HabsConnection. And don't forget, while you're at it, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You just, however you're listening right now, just look down and tap that subscribe button. That includes if you're watching on YouTube as well. So, you know, it was a really important week for the Canadiens franchise, not just because they did a lot of winning, but more importantly, they locked up their Calder-winning dynamic young defenseman for the next 8 years, extended their leadership group another 5 years. The dynamic duo of Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton, who have traversed the early years of the rebuild to get them to where they're at right now. And that means that the architects of this whole blueprint that they have built the rebuild around, as well as the core parts of the roster who have the responsibility of putting that plan into action on the ice, all of these different important components are going to be around in the Canadiens organization until at least 2030. At least 2030. So that's going to start begging the big question of, can the ultimate goal, and which many will argue, including us here on the show, should be the only goal of an NHL franchise, of winning a Stanley Cup, the Canadiens' 25th Stanley Cup, finally come to fruition over the next 5 years?
And of course, that question's difficult to answer. Mm-hmm. It's not automatic that the players being put in place will lead that to happen. And that question only ignites other questions. Yes, the core is in place, but is it the right core? Is everyone in the core on a compatible timeline? Because it's not only assembling the right players, but they all have to be on a timeline to peak together at the same time. And then we got to talk about the complementary pieces. They would be prospects who are needed to be transitioned. You have to add young players to maintain to fit under the cap and to allow you to go out and add the right veterans that are going to be needed to support the core. And can you add all of those pieces in while maintaining team unity? So it just, there's more questions, ahead. And I say that is the challenge now. The team management has moved from, building the core up to tuning the roster in order to achieve, this goal. They they've been clear about the goal. It's to be perennial Stanley Cup contenders, as many times as over as many years as possible in order to, have chances to win a Stanley Cup.
So what does that mean exactly when we say the core is locked up? Well, I said that, you know, this group is going to be around until at least 2030. Well, that's the earliest that one of the young core pieces of the roster will run out of contract space. And that's the captain, Nick Suzuki. He's 26 years old and he is signed until 2030. So they've got another 5 years of the captain under contract.
And let's also look at Nick's line mates, at least his line mates for now. Cole mm-hmm. Caulfield is just 24. He's signed till 2031. Juraj Slafkovský, the youngest of the trio, age 21. He's signed until 2033. And arguably, Slafkovský is the player on that line who has yet to make an impact this season. They're still waiting for him. Marty St. Louis is still trying to be patient with him. He's doing some good things away from the puck, but he mm-hmm. hasn't joined in the offense of the other two players.
The core pieces on the back end, Caden Gooley, 23 years old. He is signed through the same year that Caulfield is, 2031. Newly acquired Noah Dobson, 25 years old. He's signed until 2033, same as Juraj Slafkovský. And we know that Lane Hutson, just at the young age of 21, just signed an 8-year deal, locking him up until 2034.
Who else is going to be added to that core? Well, there's a couple with the Canadiens now and a couple that are yet to arrive, and the two who are with the Canadians and already making an impact, Ivan Demidov, Zach Bolduc, they will be Demidov, of course, just 19, Bolduc 22. They haven't been, they're with the team, but they haven't been extended yet. That should happen next summer, and then they'll be added to that core list that is locked up for at least, as you said, the period until 2030.
Mm-hmm. So that takes care of who's on the roster right now, who either already has a long-term contract or is set to renew for another few years at the very least in the not so distant future. That then moves us to what's right around the corner in terms of what's next. And that's going to be the top prospects in the Canadiens organization who are set to make an NHL jump and play a big piece and likely earn a big contract at some point in the near future. And there are two of those who are just about a lock sooner rather than later.
Michael Hage, that second line center spot, is more or less still open. Michael Hage is a candidate to fill that spot. Age 19, he's been featured a couple of times already. He's ripping it up in the NCAA, and will graduate at some point. Can he be added to the core? I think everyone expects Jacob Fowler, just 20 years old, to be added to the core, and should be, if all goes as it's projected to, the Canadiens goaltender of the future. So Hage and Fowler will be two that are added to the core in the future.
Mm-hmm. So the next natural step after that is, okay, pretty certain about Michael Hage and Jacob Fowler. What about the next tier of prospects who maybe not a definitive lock yet, but definitely have the potential to play a part and make an impact for the Canadiens at some point over the course of the next 5 years or so? And there's four or five guys here who definitely, I think, have a decent amount of upside that they could really do something.
Yeah, these are the guys that you wouldn't say will be necessarily core players, but they're certainly part of the puzzle. And some of these, maybe not all, but some of these will play a role. Adam Engstrom, the best prospect on defense right now. Mm-hmm. Alexander Zarofsky, I remember how excited the Canadians were to get him early in the second round of the draft, considered him a first-round player. Owen Beck, the most NHL-ready of all of their players in Laval, and that was evidenced by his call-up today. Florian Jacki, lots of excitement about the grit that he would bring to a lineup. Atos Koivu, who was really good at the development camp. And on the goaltending side, Jakub Dobish. And will Jakub Dobish be the goaltender from the organization that becomes part of the tandem with Jacob Fowler?
So lots to ponder there. And when you really look at what is currently on the Canadiens roster and what they've got on deck and kind of brewing and developing just on the outside edges, it's a kind of a pretty exciting prospect of the talent that could all come together in 3-4 years, and lots of excitement there. That's also going to mean that there's going to be some veterans who will likely need to move on to create space for the younger talent as they become ready. And one of those obviously is going to be Josh Anderson, is going to reach the end of his Canadiens run in a shorter term.
Yeah, the there's some contracts that are ending at the end of the 2026-27 season. They would include Josh Anderson. Josh Anderson, a a veteran who can supply physicality and energy and a bit of a scoring touch, may be valuable in the playoffs. But you know, his cap hit would certainly open up opportunities to bring in other players. Brendan Gallagher looks rejuvenated this year, mm-hmm. and for short periods of time can move up in the lineup, but now is back to that fourth line role and maybe making a little bit too much money for that role. Sam Montembeau was always a placeholder. We talked about that. His contract up at the end of the 2026-27 season as well. You know, fans get attached to the placeholders, but the Canadians have better talent that they can move on to.
So then that leaves the question marks. The players who on paper should be making an impact, whether it's now or whether it's in the near future or down the road, but who have either not lived up to their potential or there are doubts or concerns about whether they ever will reach that potential or if they've hit a ceiling that wasn't predicted at a former time. Obviously, Kirby Dach falls into that category.
He does. I think that, you know, at the time, Kirby Dach, that move was questioned. Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton were entering into a reclamation kind of project, mm-hmm. They thought they knew better than Chicago, and that they saw something that the Blackhawks didn't, and that they wanted to fast forward the rebuild by giving up some draft capital and bringing in a player that they could work with and turn into a second line center. Or there was talk at the beginning that maybe a 1B center, and that hasn't happened, obviously. The moves that were most criticized at the time that they happened. A lot of fans weren't happy with Kirby Dach acquisition. Same can be said for Alex Newhook, mm-hmm. And the two big picks that they gave up for Newhook. And again, it was a situation where the Canadians said, we know better than Colorado. But it seems that the home clubs knew better in this case for both Newhook and Dach. And then Canadians fans didn't like the David Reinbacher pick, and we don't know yet if David Reinbacher will ever reach the potential that Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton saw in him, but it hasn't turned out that way so far because of his injury history. So those three players, big question marks, what role that they're going to play. There's also other, you know, what to do with Patrick Laine and Mike Matheson, whether they should be, extended or what's going to happen there. But those players, the ones we just mentioned, Dach, Newhook and Reinbacher, were expected to play a huge role, in the rebuild, and haven't done so far.
One thing is for certain, moving forward, is that the leadership is confirmed for the organization, with Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes having been extended for 5 years. That stability of the decision making about the path that the Canadiens roster is going to take and how it's going to be shaped is going to stay in place at least until 2030, which I think stability at this point is probably the best medicine for the Canadiens.
Yeah, and Jeff Molson has bought into the plan. He seems to he said we're not necessarily in the Stanley Cup vein right now, but I can see it coming together. I can see the plan coming together, and so that's why he went ahead and made that. Those contract extensions, and so expect more of the same from them. Although, as we said, their focus kind of changes a little bit. The other thing that's going to change is, you know, the Canadiens fans have been, you know, pretty forgiving up until now because not much was expected when the rebuild plan started. But that all changed with them making the playoffs last year, mm-hmm. And with the additions that they've made, the leadership is going to be put under more scrutiny. Players are going to be held more accountable. All of that, the Canadiens as their performance improves, the expectations also are elevated.
And I think the accountability, yes, is going to come from the fans. Obviously, the media is going to put that accountability pressure on the team as well. But we've already seen, you know, we had talked many times about, you know, whether St. Louis would be extended and that type of thing, because was he ready for the next phase? And I think we were both pleasantly surprised to see that he did seem to have a shift in mindset coming into training camp this year, that he's kind of taken his game up a little bit of a level. And I think that that's going to extend to accountability on the bench as well, not only behind the bench, but on the bench of him keeping players accountable, the coaches keeping each other accountable. And so, you know, the stakes are just a little bit higher now.
Yeah. And I think we should watch the bench. Do the Canadiens have the right, is the right coaching staff in place for the Canadiens to take the next step? Not saying that Marty St. Louis is under any pressure, but what about an addition to the bench? I know Roger Grillo was hired as a consultant, but there's still kind of an open position on the bench. Do they have the right? Certainly, coaching staff seems to enjoy working together, but could they use a little bit more experience as those expectations are ramped up?
So we can celebrate. That core is locked in. The executive leadership is locked in. And it seems to be all business with the Canadiens, at least for this first five games of the season. We'll see if that can be sustainable and consistent. Those are two words that the Canadiens in recent seasons have had difficulty with and struggled maintaining: sustainability and consistency. We'll see if they can do that. But all systems are firing right now, and it's pretty exciting. And what's coming next also seems to be pretty exciting for fans all over Habs Nation. So the Canadiens Connection question of the week, I'm going to put your thinking caps on a little bit, because we want to know this week, which Canadiens prospect, this is a multiple choice question, which Canadiens prospect is going to be the most important addition to solidifying Montreal's core? Is it going to be Michael Hage, David Reinbacher, or Jacob Fowler?
We got a forward, we got a defenseman, and a goaltender. Who's the most important to solidifying the current core?
Let us know which one you think and why. It's a really interesting one. And so how do you answer that question? Well, you can text us anytime, 24/7 on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 585-3-ROCKET. Again, 585-3-ROCKET. You can also drop a comment on our YouTube channel. You can find our YouTube channel very easily just by typing in the URL insidethecanadiens.com. That takes you straight to our YouTube page. Hit subscribe and drop a comment with your answer to this question. If you are listening on Spotify, hello, we hear you, we see you. You can drop us a comment on Spotify and leave your answer there. Or you can also just hit us up on social media at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, on Instagram. You can leave a comment in any of those places with your answer to this week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. We'll take all of those responses, pick out the best few of them, and read them on next week's show. And that's exactly what we're going to do after this next break with your answers to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. So Don't go anywhere. Maybe we picked yours. Stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Football is back, and so is your shot at big wins. With DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at picksix.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to episode 370 of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Yes, 370 episodes. Can you believe it? If you've missed one or two or three of those, we should mention we have a full archive of all of our shows. If you head over to CanadiansConnection.fm, that's the homepage for the podcast, we have a complete archive of every single episode right there. You can listen to anything if you've ever missed it. So it's a great place to catch up if you're looking for something else to listen to and you've already listened to the most recent Canadians Connection podcast. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode. Each and every week. We're here every single Saturday on podcast platforms. The video version of the podcast then comes out on Mondays on our YouTube channel over at InsideTheCanadians.com. So be sure you're subscribed in all places. And we're just glad you're here with us each and every week, all year long, not just during hockey season. Also, be sure you're keeping an eye on our new home for written content this season, HockeyHotStove.com. We are providing the Canadians content over at HockeyHotStove.com. Just click on the Canadians logo from the homepage. It'll take you right there. And dive into the discussion with other Habs fans about your favorite team over on the forums tab at Hockey Hot Stove. Lively discussions taking place over there. You can even start your own conversations and threads. Of topics to talk about the Montreal Canadiens. So definitely check out that. It is tons of fun. And as we had mentioned just a few moments ago, be sure to get in your answers to this week's question of the week. Which Canadiens prospect will be the most important addition to solidifying Montreal's core? Is it going to be Michael Hage? Is it going to be David Reinbacher? Or is it going to be Jacob Fowler? Let us know which one you think is going to be the most important addition to shore up Montreal's current core and why. Now, last week was a timely question because we asked, do you think Lane Hutson's contract situation is going to be resolved quickly, or could this drag on and affect his performance? And then he signed a contract 2 days later. So it did happen quickly.
And we said, be on the alert because we expected it to happen prior to the Canadiens' home opener.
And we had some great comments come in this week on YouTube about this question. At Frank Huber 9912 says, Hutson will continue to be a happy and productive Hab for the foreseeable future. He also put out some predictions of, despite all the chatter, both Matheson and Struble will battle as Habs in this year's playoffs. So he's not only saying that the Habs are going to make the playoffs, but that Matheson and Struble will still be in a CH uniform. He also says that Michael Hage will join the team near season's end and will make an immediate impact.
That's a lot of predictions in there.
It's a lot of predictions in there, Frank. We'll keep hope you're going to keep tabs. See how many you get right. At Habanations also replied, this was after the terms of Lane Hutson's contract had come out, and he says, I think we have the best capologist in the league. It's under 10.
I'm happy.
10 million. I'm happy. Go Habs, go.
And that capologist would be none other than John Sedgwick, the mm-hmm. assistant general manager of the Montreal Canadiens.
That's right.
And then we have a comment from our dear friend, Centerheist 7948, and he says, well, Lane's contract got done, and it's great because it seemed to be affecting his game in the first three games of the season. We agree. That was pretty apparent, and he's been completely back to his same self since the contract was signed. And Center Heist ends saying, great job, my friends. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We're always glad to hear that you're enjoying the podcast. But we also hope that you've got plenty of caffeine ready for this week. It's going to be a busy week for the Canadians, and it's going to be some late games because they are doing a Western swing this week. Kicking things off Saturday night, another game at home in the Bell Center, 7 p.m. start. So it's all, you know, everything is as it should be for later tonight on Saturday night. 7 p.m. start, facing off against the New York Rangers. Then things get weird because it's a Monday night game at home against the Buffalo Sabres. And I believe that's a 7:30 start.
7:30 start.
I'm wondering if that's going to be a Prime Canada broadcast.
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime Canada broadcast. Then on Wednesday, Montreal starts their road trip heading out to Calgary. That is an 8:30 p.m. Eastern time start, followed by Thursday night. So why not kick off a Western swing with a back-to-back? Wednesday night, Montreal in Calgary, 8:30 p.m. Eastern start. Thursday night, Montreal visiting Edmonton, a 9 p.m. start.
So we're going to see Jakub Dobysz. There's a back-to-back there. So we're obviously going to see him at least once, probably more if Sam Montembeault continues going the way he's going, and hopefully he'll get things turned around for himself.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens. Playing against the Rangers, he might have an opportunity to do that. And then, of course, we will be back here with another episode of the Canadians Connection podcast next Saturday, October 25th. We're looking forward to it. I'm sure there was a lot of juicy stuff to talk about in this week's show. I'm going to bet that there's going to be plenty more for us to cover next week. So you are not going to want to miss it. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss out on the next episode or any episode after that. Enjoy your week of hockey, and we'll see you next week here on the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.